Let's take our Bibles over to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. We've been continuing in our study on the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. As we've been continuing in the fruit of the Spirit, notice chapter 5, verse 22. The Bible gives us the list here of the fruit of the Spirit. And of course, the fruit of the Spirit is what God produces in our life when we are walking with Him. When someone has trusted Jesus as their Savior and they are walking in obedience to the Lord, this is what God produces in our life. It is supernatural. It is a result of the Holy Spirit working in your life. And so verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And so, nine fruit. Now, we have gotten all the way here to the fruit of faith. The fruit of faith. What is faith? Well, last week we looked at a biblical definition of faith, and that we have over in the book of Hebrews. And if you would take your Bible over there to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews is right towards the end of the Bible. And chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews is known as the Hall of Faith. The Hall of Faith, not the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. And here in chapter 11, God gives us a definition of what faith is. And so this is something God's going to produce in us when we walk with Him. He's going to grow our faith. So let's notice again the definition. The Bible says, now faith is, verse 1, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, when we think of faith, we think of trust, and that's accurate. Trust. Another, that would be a synonym for faith, or to believe, to rest in. Do you have faith in me? But of course, when we're talking about the faith we read about here, we're talking about faith in God. Trust in God. Believing God. Believing what He has said. Believing who He is. And all of those things. And so God says faith is the substance. Now, I've done a little artwork here. And it pales as far as artwork quality goes. But it'll maybe help us to understand some of the definition here. All right? Can everybody see that? All right. And so what we have here is, of course, a house. I have a bigger house and a little house. Now, the Bible says faith is the substance. And we looked at that word last week, but I want you to understand this. The Bible word substance, it's translated in another place, confidence. Okay, so faith is the substance, or faith is the confidence of things hoped for. All right? The confidence of things hoped for. When I looked up this Greek word that's translated confidence or substance in this passage, the word means, literally, it means the stable thing put under. Can you say that with me? Substance means the stable thing put under. One more time. Substance means the stable thing put under. Now, of course, we call that a foundation. Another literal way to say that is something that undergirds, right? It's something that undergirds, an undergirder. It's important to have things set on a firm foundation, all right? Now, here we have the word, help me now, the word faith. And you can see that this is below the grade, okay? And that's where foundations generally are. They're in the ground. A lot of times you can't see a foundation, or at least not much of it. All right, on a home, oftentimes you can see a little bit of the foundation, maybe. But the foundation generally goes quite deep. When we did the work out here on the addition to the front of this building, 1,000-square-foot addition on the front here, we dug deep. We dug down there, 9 feet, where we would then lay the footing and other things down in the ground. But we lay the footings, and that's what the basement walls stand on, and that's what the building is built on, right? And getting down there on good ground and below the frost line and all of that. So help me now again. The word substance, where it says faith is the substance is the stable thing put under. The substance. Something stable put under. And God says that's what faith is. It's the substance. It's that stable thing put under. And that's why I have faith holding up this house. Now, God says that we can have great faith or we can have little faith, right? Do you see I've got great faith and little faith here? Okay? I've got great faith, right? You see that? Can you see there's a size difference here? All right, even the trees are different sizes, right? And so we have great faith. And I'll tell you what, the bigger your faith, the more hope it can support. Okay? Notice verse 1 here. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." All right? The substance of things hoped. So faith is the undergirder of what is expected. Okay? So In this drawing here, of course, it's just trying to illustrate this, but right here we can see what's built, right? But God is telling us that faith is the foundation of what is not yet seen. Let's read the next half of the verse. Faith is the substance of things hoped for together, the evidence of things not seen. We have faith. And God wants to grow our faith. One of the fruit of the Spirit is faith. So when we walk with God, what's God going to do? Is he going to make our faith smaller? No, he's going to grow our faith. He's going to grow our confidence in him, our confidence in his word, our assurance. You see, When we have a stable foundation, when we have a stable thing put under, it can support more. If you build just a little foundation, if you just have a little faith, it can support something, but it's small. It's smaller, okay? Now, God says, even just a little faith is enough to save a soul. Did you know that? Because all you have to do is believe God. If you exercise trust in God's promise of salvation, you can be saved. Even Jesus said, in fact, he said, the way that we get saved is we become like little children and we simply trust God to do for us what we can't do. When we trust God to save us like he promised, we simply trust him to do it. And God says even little faith can save. In fact, Jesus said faith as small as a grain of mustard seed can move mountains. Mountains. All right? And so, a lesson here in faith. All right? And so the definition, faith is the stable thing put under. But also it says in chapter 1 here, it says it's the evidence of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of things not seen. All right, so we have something we can see now, but let's take away the seeing. God says, faith proves something's going to be built here. I don't know about you, but people normally don't build foundations unless something's coming, right? Preparing the ground for something. And, you know, God says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. So notice that here. The evidence of things not seen. And so, not only is faith the stable thing put under, but faith is the assurance of validity. Listen, God makes a promise. God says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you believe it, if you have the assurance that God will do what he said, it unlocks an unseen world. Faith unlocks the promises of God. Something that is not, you take a lost person, they're not saved, they're in their sin, they're headed for a place called hell. In our sin, that's where we're headed. They can't save themselves. They're in a very difficult situation. They hear the gospel. They hear how Christ loves us and how he gave his life on the cross so we could be saved, how he paid our sin debt. And you know what? If that person accepts that validity and says, "Hey, I believe that God is speaking the truth. I believe that God's promise is good," they can be saved. But I'll tell you what, let's understand this as well. Someone can grow up in a Christian home. They can grow up going to church. They can grow up hearing about Jesus from a very early age. And most accept Christ actually at an early age. But you know what? They can grow up in all those things and reject. They can come to that place or walk through their life and they can continually reject that Jesus is who he says he is. They can reject, "God can't save me." And they can reject those things that are true, but they reject them as untrue. They have no faith. And if they don't have that faith, they won't be saved. Because the only way to be saved is to believe God. And so, we see the importance of faith. Now, I want to get a little lesson here in faith. And we're going to go to Mark chapter 9. The Gospel of Mark and chapter 9. Notice verse 17. There's a multitude gathered together and one man is concerned for his son. Mark 9. Verse 17, it says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not.'" All right, we have a difficult situation, do we not? Here's a father that has brought his son to Jesus. And first, he had seen the disciples, and he asked the disciples to help him, and they were unable to help him. They tried, but it seemed that they didn't have the ability to help this man or to help his son. This boy, this son, had a dumb spirit, the Bible says. And it was obviously controlling this boy's life. It was of the enemy, of the devil, an unclean spirit. And it was hindering this guy's life. It was a really bad case. And that's a fact here. We notice a couple of things. First of all, I want you to understand that in your life, and in mine, there are situations we can't handle. This man and his son were in a difficult situation. They couldn't handle it. It was They needed God. They needed God. I want you to notice as we continue reading, not only did they bring the boy to the disciples and they couldn't help, but verse 19 says, he answered him and Seth. This is Jesus now talking. He answered and Seth, O faithless generation. O faithless generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. We see the bad case. Verse 21. And he asked his father, that's Jesus, asked the boy's father. He said, how long ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If thou canst do anything. Let me ask you a question. Can God do anything? Yes, we have multiple scriptures that would testify to that reality, that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. God made the world. God holds it together. God made you. God made me. There is nothing impossible with God. Jesus confronted people that were in dire sickness, and he could help them. Jesus was in storms that were raging to capsize a boat, and he stilled the storm. Jesus can do anything. Jesus interrupted funeral processions and said, open the casket, and raised a dead boy. Jesus stood at a tomb where a man had been buried 4 days earlier and said, roll away the stone. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. You see, Jesus can do anything. Jesus can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. Notice what the man says, the man with the son who's in a very bad condition. Verse 22, middle of the verse, he says, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So we notice that there are situations we cannot handle. But we also notice that nothing is impossible with God. And number three, our God is a God of compassion who cares for us. Our God is a God of compassion who cares for us. Jesus said, consider the sparrows. Consider the sparrows. He says, I care for them. And you are worth much more than many sparrows. God loves us. So we have a God in heaven who cares about what's going on in our lives. He can do something about it. He can do the impossible. But here's the key. We must grow to trust him more. God says, without faith you can't be saved. There it is. Salvation is available, but if we don't have faith, we can't be saved. God calls us to live by faith as a believer, as a Christian. Those who've trusted Christ as our Savior, he calls us to continue to walk by faith, to trust God. Why? Because when we walk by faith, it opens up what God has. You see, if we try to live life without God, without a dependence upon God, we're trying to live and we're trying to build a house, as it were, without a foundation. If we have faith, we can be saved. If we have faith, we can do the will of God. And so that's why it's important for us to recognize that God wants to work in our lives. He is a God of compassion. And this man comes to Jesus in verse 22 and he says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 23, notice what it says. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Isn't that amazing? The connection between Almighty God and little old me is faith. When I believe God, it opens up to me all of God's power. Number four here, God always responds to faith. God always responds to faith. Notice what he says in verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Can you see the situation that this man is in? This father, he loves his son. His son's in a bad way since a child with this dumb spirit, demonic spirit that is controlling this boy's life, and he is in a horrible condition. And he says, Lord, help us. And Jesus says, if you believe, I can help you. And he says, I believe, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Here was a man who we could say maybe had faith, but he's saying, Lord, I believe. And he thought, well, maybe my faith is so small. But you know what? Even small faith put in a big God can do the impossible. And so, verse 25, it says, when Jesus saw the people, that people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Here's the boy. He's like he's dead. Insomuch that many said, he is dead. Verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? Verse 29, and he said unto him, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And so there are situations we cannot handle. But nothing is impossible with our God. Our God is a God of compassion who cares for us. God always responds to faith, even small faith. God always works in and through those who draw close to him. God always works in and through those who draw close to him. You see, if I have little faith, just a little dependence upon God, you know what? God wants to grow that faith. And as I walk with God, if I believe God, even just a little bit, if I believe God, you know, that's going to bring me closer to God. And as God helps my faith to grow. You see, faith, as we meditate on God's word, as we walk with God, God strengthens our confidence in him. You have somebody who is not seeking God, is not seeking to grow in faith. They'll go through life muddling away, but without God's help. But as we draw close to God, as we pray, you know, prayer is a wonderful way to reach out to God, to ask God to do the impossible, to ask God for daily needs, to ask God to work in difficult situations as well as everyday challenges. And as we exercise faith, remember, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. And so as we walk with God, what's God going to produce in us? Faith. And so when we have faith in God, we can see God do things, and the house is just something to picture there, of course. But when we have a foundation, remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is an expectation. When we have a hope in God for what God's going to do, what God can do, when we come to God like this father came, he came expecting that God could help him, that Jesus could heal his son. And you know what? A father and a son went home that day with a son completely healed. God wants to work in our lives. Our faith is small so many times. But you know what? God wants to grow our faith. And it will grow as we meditate on his word. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we meditate on God's word, God builds faith in us. And so, trusting God, what God can do, what God will do, as we walk with him, God wants to grow our faith. Nothing is impossible when we put our trust in God. Faith unlocks the promises of God, the power of God for our lives. God loves you. God wants to work in our lives. Oftentimes, we don't see his power working because we have no faith, or we have very little faith. So let's seek God to grow our faith. Let's seek to have that foundation laid and thinking, what can God do? So maybe, in closing, if faith is the substance of things hoped for, and if faith is the evidence of things not seen, maybe instead of a house here, we should have a person here. And as this person is building their life on God's word, building their life on trusting the Lord, on confidence in God, then they can think in their mind about what God's going to do. And I'll just use the house since that was kind of our illustration. So, if faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, we're trusting God to do what we can't see, but we're depending on what he has said. In seeing how God works through faith, as we believe him, and how we can gain that confidence, that hope in God, so that we have the right ideas in our mind about what God wants to do, that we are trusting God to do what is according to his will. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the encouragement this morning in the area of our faith. Lord, we understand that the fruit of the Spirit is faith, and that you want to produce a greater confidence in you as we walk with you. And Lord, that's why many of us are here this morning in church, worshiping you, not only to glorify you, but also to grow in Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would grow our faith, that you would help us to trust you for greater things, that in our daily lives, even in the everyday things, in the everyday challenges, and in relationships, that we would grow in trust, recognizing there are things that we can't handle. There are things that would be much better with you in the center focus of our lives. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to get our confidence right, and our confidence not in ourselves, but rather in you and in your word and what you have spoken. Lord, grow our faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.